on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
Those three things, questions, beliefs, and habits, do they coincide with whatever that goal is? Because if they don't, you're sabotaging yourself the entire trip.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers. No more barriers. No one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
For those paying attention, you can probably hear if you're listening or watching on YouTube, we are not at home, we are in fabulous Las Vegas.
We are, yes, and in particular at Bally's, which is the venue for the 20 Books to 50K conference.
Is the word fabulous the word you'd use for Bally's?
Possibly not the precise word I'd choose, but it'll do for now.
Yes, we mustn't be rude. It's been a fantastic conference. This is called 20 Books to 50K. You can join the Facebook group. We're good friends with them. A lot of overlap between SBF and 20 Books. And it's a place for indie authors to learn and share. But there are 2,500 people in here, Mark. So, excuse me. This is the first thing we need to do. If you're not watching on YouTube, this is Elaine Bateman, who helps us with the self-publishing show in London and is chief sanitizer in Vegas. And believe me, Vegas is a place that requires a lot of sanitizing.
It is. Yeah, okay. I got. Thank you, Elaine.
If you could go and do the other 2,498 people, then we'll all be sanitized. Yeah, there's a bit of COVID going around.
I got COVID last year at Vegas.
Thank you,
Elaine. We'll see how we go this year. There is a lot of going around, but it's one of those things now, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Okay, before we do anything else, we have a Patreon to welcome. Mark, you can do that.
We do. So just checking now from Catherine. It is Angelica Anderson. No address, but thank you to Angelica for supporting us on Patreon and helping us to get the cameras and pay young Tom's wages behind the camera today and keep the podcast going. It's really very much appreciated.
Well, I just met Laurie and her daughter, who are both authors here. Laurie is a Patreon supporter of ours as well, she told me, so thank you very much indeed. Before the next thing, we have a webinar to tell you about. This is going to be about revising your book. So a really well-timed webinar, because we time everything well, for NaNoWriMo. If like me, you've been doing that, you've got a draft that you now are going to revise and turn into a book. But even if you don't, this is going to be a fantastic opportunity to learn the process, a sort of structured way of approaching turning a draft from good to great, I think is what Jenny says. So it's Jenny Nash, very experienced editor. She's going to be taking that webinar. We are going to be doing that on the date. John, you have a shout at us.
28th of November, 9 p.m. UK time.
28th of November,
9 p.m.
UK time. So it'll be a bit earlier in the day in America, a bit earlier the next day in Australia. And the URL for that, John, is
/revisewebinar.
Okay, so it'll be selfpublishingformula.com/revisewebinar. All one word, revise webinar. Sign up to that. Mark and I will be there, at least one or both of us will be there, but you'll be listening to Jenny teaching you. And believe me, this is such a critical part. I can tell you as a new author, Mark probably does some of this stuff in his sleep now, but as a new author, such a critical part of the process, because first drafts, I think it's probably Ernest Hemingway, someone said, if your first draft isn't shit, you're not doing it properly. First drafts are usually a bit messy, a bit rushed, half-baked ideas. It is the process that follows that turns out into a book that people are actually going to read.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's definitely something that is we need to learn. It comes with experience, but this would be a good way to short-circuit that and take advantage of Jenny's experience in helping authors to make their books as good as possible.
So what have we been doing this week? I did a presentation on TikTok. We did kind of an overview, and I brought Adam Beswick on. If you're in the TikTok for Authors group, which we have the Facebook group, you'll know Adam. He's been going great guns this year. I've just sat and had a very good chat with Adam about TikTok Shop. He's been invited into that program as a bit of a beta. He's going down to TikTok HQ in December. And if you read the newspapers today, he's been quoted in The Guardian and others as an author who's using TikTok to sell books. Thanks to TikTok for really promoting him. And I think it's a very, you know, I've been going on about TikTok for a while, but this is something I need to get into, the shop aspect of it. So at the moment, you're still fulfilling the books at home on your kitchen table, but it's a growing part of his business, and I'm going to get that sorted out, hopefully myself as well, so we can teach it soon. So get involved in the Facebook groups if you want to know any of that stuff. Now, Mark, the sessions we did here, available for streaming, aren't they? I guess if you go to the 20 Books to 50K group.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. So if you go to 20 Books, you should be able to find a link to YouTube. I guess just search 20 Books Vegas 2022, and it'll probably come up. I think all of them are recorded. I know they had some technical difficulties with streaming them this year, but as far as I know, they've been recorded, so you'll be able to watch them at your leisure.
In quality.
Yeah, we'll watch it when we get home, but definitely one to take a look at. Some good sessions this year.
Yeah, and it's always the best bit is bumping into your friends and authors who you just know about, but have never met. I mean, I've been working quite closely with Kevin J. Anderson over the years, and I used to read Kevin when he wrote the Star Wars books when I was probably in my 20s. I don't want to age him too much, and he's just behind us actually over there. And I went and had a chat with him and got a selfie with Kevin. He's a big fan of SPF, and we're a big fan of him. So Kevin actually runs, interestingly, runs a master's course in the university in Colorado, and I keep bumping into students of his here, and there can't be many university courses that are so up to date, because I imagine if you enrolled in a lot of university courses in England as well as in the States, and they're teaching publishing, I think a lot of their stuff would be 10, 15 years out of date, but not Kevin's.
No, not at all. No, I can't think of any other courses that would teach the way that we do things. He's been doing that for 3 or 4 years, I think. So definitely one of the best places to learn, other than present company, of course.
Part of the curriculum is he asked them to listen to one of our episodes.
Does he?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And if you've done really badly,
listen to two.
You have to listen to two of our episodes. But, and he sells the courses on our behalf through to his students, because he said this is everything else you need to know. Anyway, so that's Kevin, and the Draft Additional guys are here. KDP have a big team. We went out and had drinks with KDP at the Cosmopolitan Hotel during the week, which was loud but really fun. Met some lovely people there. Fingers crossed for them, by the way, because there is some news flowing about that Amazon are looking at doing some restructuring, in inverted commas. So
3% of their office workforce is going to get let go, I think. So, yeah.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse for Twitter.
Yeah, that would be bad, yeah. Definitely. Or Facebook.
Or Facebook at the moment, yeah. Yeah, and if you've never been to these conferences, I think that this is a good one to start with, depending on where you are in your career. You will find stuff at the advanced level, but a lot of this is geared around authors, understanding the indie world, getting to meet the contacts who are going to help you, like those author services we referred to, and sitting in on sessions from people basically setting out the kind of like the launchpad version of our course, I think, is conferences.
Yeah, it's a good. There's a lot to do here. There's several tracks running at the same time. So multiple opportunities to listen to whatever you want, really, and also to find other authors. That's one of the best things to do with these kinds of places, to hook up with authors like you, writing in your genre or at the same stage as you. It's not difficult with what 1,700 people here this year.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to find people that you'll have things in common with. So it is difficult sometimes. Authors tend to be quite introverted. So to kind of get out of your hotel room, come downstairs and mix with others can be a bit discombobulating for some authors, but it is really worth getting out of your comfort zone and kind of, I was going to say press the flesh, but press the flesh and then sanitize afterwards.
Yeah, and this is today, by the way, the conference officially finished yesterday. This is the book fair.
So authors here, and vendors as well, but authors selling their books to members of the public who are coming in to get signed copies and merch and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to have a wander around later and see what I can see too. It's vibrant, lots of people here. It was successful last year, and I'm sure it'll be the same this year.
Just keep a 1.5 metre gap between you and any other human beings. Okay, we have an interview for you. Of course, it's not recorded here. Vegas, put it a couple of weeks ago before we came out. It's with John Logsdon. You've got a very long memory. If you've listened to the show for 4 years, you might remember John was on in the early days. So he has the Author Helper Suite. Started out as Reader Links, which did Universal Links, but they've expanded the service now. The Author Helper Suite of stuff, and I'll let John explain what it offers. So here's John, and then Mark and I will be back for a quick wrap-up at the end.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
John Logsdon, welcome to the self-publishing show. That's quite a natty background. Looks like Forbidden Planet shop in the West End.
Yes, I decided this year that I didn't like the bleh look in the background and I wanted to do something. So I just put up the tiles and the tiles look like I was lying on a bathroom floor.
Right.
So that didn't work out. So I said, well, why not grab all your, you know, stuff that you have from collected over the years and collected some new stuff too, including, you know, when we were down in the Disney area, I got this guy right here from Universal Studios, stuff like that.
Okay.
And I just started stacking it and I got to fill up some more.
I should say, if people are just listening, they have no idea what we're going on about, but John is sitting with a pentagon tiled background and floating shelves of which there are on which there are figurines from Star Trek and some Marvel stuff, maybe, and some
World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft. Bunch of stuff,
there
yeah.
you go. And, of course, some guitars, because you are a rock musician and a rock star in the world of indie publishing. How's that?
Right. A rock star. All to me.
Yeah.
I'm my biggest fan.
Okay. Well, look, we haven't had you on the show for a very long time, but we know that you have the Author Helper is your brand within indie publishing. So why don't you tell us a bit about Author Helper, John?
Sure. So basically, when it actually kind of all started when I was listening to Mark's course originally and so on, I didn't want to do it. My wife kept on convincing me to do it. And I said, fine, I'm going to do it exactly like it shows just to demonstrate it will not work. And it worked.
Yeah. That was annoying.
It worked great. It worked great, actually. But then I started seeing that other authors weren't necessarily doing it like that. They weren't doing exactly the way that, you know, it was said. Obviously there's some nuance you have to bring to it for your own genres and such. But so what I did was I started saying, you know, convincing other authors, hey, do the course, but make sure you do the course. And that should be with any course you take. Don't just do like, you know, one or two of them or kind of glance over it and say, oh, okay. And then go do something on your own that's not representative of the course, because you know, there's been a lot of thought put into these things and why it's done the way it's done. Anyway, so I started helping authors with that. And then they started asking me, well, can you help me with, you know, this area and that area and so on? Because I, you know, I've been a developer for a very long time. And also I did a lot of mentoring in corporate environments and so on to, you know, lift people's careers up and such. So I started doing that. And next thing you know, Author Helper was kind of born from there. From that is where we created the Author Helper Suite, which was formerly known as ReaderLinks. And that was just me with a few other authors. The authors are Ben Zackheim, Shane Silvers, Orlando Sanchez, Eric Knowles. We all had just kind of gotten together and were working with each other to try to support each other, a little mini support group, you know, as it were. And then I started programming tools to help my life. And I said, hey, you guys want to use this? Yes, I want to use that. And that just kept on snowballing. And then Ben said, hey, why don't we put this all as a collective item and then, you know, put it out there. And so Ben and I actually started it, the Author Helper and the Author Helper Suite officially, or ReaderLinks at the time. And yeah, so it all kind of went from there, and we've just been growing and growing, and yeah, so that's
it. Well, I'm going to ask you about the nuts and bolts of it and what people get out of the service in a moment, but let's go back to you and your writing. So you were writing, and I've read a couple of your books because I'm a big Douglas Adams fan. I think you must be as well, because you wrote a sort of similar sort of genre science fiction book. So where are you with your writing now? Tell us a bit about your history of writing and what you've got.
Sure. Well, I actually, the first books I ever published were in early 2000s. They were programming books for games. And that was actually at a company in, I want to say Doncaster. It was up north, right?
Up north, Doncaster.
Yeah,
You have to say Caster.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. My bad. so I put a couple of books there. And at that time, I was working in the games industry. And I was doing some writing, just taking some, you know, classes and stuff. Like I took the Gotham writing workshop and such. And one of my buddies, Chris Young, is one of my co-authors. He's, you know, we've worked a lot together. We were both taking that class and we were like, hey, let's go ahead and start something. Well, anyway, long story short, I started writing more and more fiction. I've been writing fiction since I was a kid, but more and more fiction went on. And then I published my first book in 2013, I believe, actually officially published. And then, you know, that was fantasy comedy. And everything I write is geared toward comedy. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter what genre I write in. I'm always going to angle that direction. So started out with regular fantasy comedy, then went into science fiction comedy and played around in there for a while. And that's when the gang I was just talking to you about, they were like, you got to write urban fantasy. You got to write urban fantasy. And so I tried and I kept on thinking it's got to be serious because it's urban fantasy. And I went through 17 iterations and I just couldn't stand it. And so finally they said, dude, just write it like you write your other stuff, you know, bring that element to it. So I did. And then I was like, this isn't going to fly. So anyway, I put it out there to a bunch of readers that I didn't know. And you know, I asked from their groups. I said, you've never read any of my stuff. Try this out. Tell me what you think. And so people liked it. And I was, you know, kind of surprised at that because of the angle that, you know, I brought to it with the over the top comedy and craziness that went on, but they really liked it. And, next thing you know, 50 books later in the paranormal police department,
wow.
You know, there are 8 precincts and all that kind of stuff. I did that. And then I've recently just started, a series called The Gravedigger Mythos. And, I'm currently writing book 5 of that. Book 4 releases on December 1st. That's going really well. Narration starts in December. Yeah, so...
Did you say you're 40 books into your urban fantasy?
No, sorry. So my new series has 4 books.
Oh, okay.
And the 5th book I'm writing now. But my urban fantasy, I have a pretty large catalog of that. Now, I have co-authors that you know, I work with. But
okay.
The Paranormal Police Department has over 50 books, including short stories and stuff.
Wow.
And I've written... and published, but taken down some over the course of time, over 100 books.
Mm. And you don't do those science, comedy, sci-fi books anymore?
Actually, we did. We released one last year. They're not as you know, lucrative as urban fantasy, to be honest. And you know, this is a business, but we still do them for fun mostly.
Yeah.
And you know, we do okay with them, but there's just a difference as far as, you know, what you aim for as a business. That's all.
Because they're quite similar, actually, to J.D. Kirk's Space Team series, which is how I noticed similar sort of what we could only describe as juvenile humor, which is absolutely up my street. Okay. Well, that's John Logsdon, the writer, brought me up today because I hadn't realized how prolific and large your writing empire was now. And Reader Links, which I think, if I got it right, I think started off by just a frustration that it wasn't easy to get Universal Book Links and a few other things for authors. So you started this sort of dashboard service. But just describe what Reader Links does today. It's not called Reader Links anymore, is it? So it's
Author Helper Suite, but that's okay. People have it. Let me explain that really quick. Why is it not called Reader Links anymore? And this was because last year at 20 Books in Vegas, what happened was... when I would say Reader Links, people would say, oh, I already have a link service.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense. Obviously, you think links and, you know, there you go. I'm already using, you know, ABC links or whatever. And it's like, oh, you know what? That's a good point. Reader Links is a portion of it's a module of our service, but it's just one, you know, small thing in a sea of a bunch. So basically, yes, that is exactly what happened. I was trying to, you know, use Bitly. I was doing various different services to try to figure it out. And even when I found something that kind of worked, then it was really hard to find my links everywhere. So what I did was I said, I'll just code it myself. And this way I can click on any book and find all the links I need for that book. And then the second thing was every time I create a new book, I have to create 20 links, 25 links, whatever, because I got them from my newsletter, from my ads, from my website, you know, et cetera. And I thought it'd be nice if I just create a new book and it just created those links for me. And so took away that headache, you know, and then from that point, if I create a new link, I want it to go to all the books, not just, you know, so the other direction as well. So that way, if I've got 25 books, I don't have to create 25 links. I create one link. It acts like a, quote, blueprint. And then a little robot goes out and creates it for all 25 books for me. They each have their own IDs. So, you know, they go to their respective book. But yeah, so it was that kind of thing. And then really what it was is I'm an author who has pain points and I'm trying to fix them programmatically for myself, because programmers are notorious for being lazy. And it's funny because it's like, we will take 2 months to code something to save us 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's our mentality. But it's the returns are exponential, because over the course of 2 years, those 2 minutes add up. You know what I mean? Especially when you continue doing that kind of thing. So yeah, that's where it kind of started. And then, you know, just kept on adding new and new tools. Like we have Reader Team, a tool where, you know, we can bring in readers to any book and they can submit issues that they find by chapter. Then we can, of course, go in and look by chapter and just, you know, do our own edits through there. We can also, have a thing where they can put their review where they can then cut and paste it to whatever services that, you know, the book it launches on. And then that way we can kind of see who's reviewing, who's doing all this stuff. So 3 books in, you can start seeing who's actually participating and who isn't, whether that be through reviews or through issue reports or answering questions. And there's also a notes section. So maybe a person is like, you know, big on social media and they share you all over the place, but they don't do reviews. That's okay for me. You know, if everybody has their own rules, but for me, that's okay. Obviously, Amazon, you're not supposed to, based on their terms of service, require a person to do a review on your book if they're on your team or whatever. But what you can require of your readers is that they participate in some way. And that's one thing that you can, using our Reader Teams feature, you can kind of gauge, because you can say, well, okay, I'm keeping notes. So I see, like on Facebook or whatever, they are sharing my stuff, so I can see that. Or they've reported 6 issue reports. So they're participating in some way. And I'm able to look at that person and go, you know what, they've participated great over the course of 5 books. I'm just going to auto approve them. So the next time I put out a book and they come in to say, I want to apply to be on your reader team, they're instantly in, that kind of thing. So those are just a couple of things that started this all out, as it were. Do you want me to keep going, or you want?
Yeah, well, I'm interested in how it works, the mechanics of it. So it's a service that sits in your browser, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So it sits on your browser. You can access it, you know, from anywhere. Basically, it's not something that you have to install, as it were. We do have a bookmarklet that you would install for automatically grabbing your KDP data, because that's the other thing we do is we bring in your reports from KDP. You can also upload your reports if you want. From there, you can upload your Facebook reports. Now, of course, we have the API linked in, so you can just click a couple of buttons and it brings in your Facebook information for, I think we'd go back 5 days or might be 7. And we're also working on that for the Amazon side and how we're going to approach that as well. You can also do other income. So if you want to do your Apple reports right now, you would have to put those in by hand, but we are looking at, you know, in the future, supporting that as also. And so this way you can kind of see on your dashboard what your sales are for the day, but not just sales. And that's the thing. We don't do it by orders. We do it by sales. We want actual monetary. We want numbers, the actual numbers that are coming in. But you can also say, I want to break that down by what, platform I'm in. So am I on the UK site? How are my sales for today or for this month or this year, whatever? US site, Germany, etc. What is my net profit? Because it's basing it off of my Amazon ads and my Facebook ads and so on. And you can do that by series because we allow you to assign your ads to particular books. So you can say, how is this particular book doing? And so I could look at my first book, let's say, and it's a loss leader. Maybe I'm selling it, for less money, but I'm driving all the ads to it because I know my read through is good. Then from there, I'm able to actually see that, yeah, my first book is, losing $5 a day, but my series is gaining, $500 a day or whatever, right? We wish. It's one of those things where we can do that. So we can give you your net profit. We can give you, your return on investment percentages, things of that nature. And we can also estimate, what you're going to be at this month for gross revenue, for spend, and for net profit. So that's another aspect of it. We also have tons of analytics reports that'll tell you, how is your read through? on KU, if you're on KU, how is your sell-through for each one of your series over any period of time you want? So you can see, you know, where are my books dropping off? Or, I'm only getting a 10% from book one to book two. Well, that's a problem. But then you can look at things and start saying, yeah, but I also did tons of giveaways. So I did a free event or something like that. I gave away 1,000 books, but only 6% of people from that 1,000 books went to book two. So then you start asking questions like, how valuable really is it to give away books? And so you can start trying to find your price point of book one. Is it 99 cents? Is free means, does the reader really have enough skin in the game? Because we all have got 10,000 books on our Kindles or whatever. But when you start getting to, let's say, $2.99, now they're going, I just spent $3. I got to read this. Yeah. As opposed to, I'll get to it soon. You know what I mean? So we start learning that skin in the game thing. And I recently worked with an author on this, and who was doing 99 cents, and second book was, I think, $4.99. And it was only like a 17% jump from one to two. And so what we did was we increased the price of book one to make it closer to what this is, and also to make sure they'd read it. By doing that and kind of, you know, using our system to track those sales, track the read through, sell through, and so on, we got him up to, I think it was 70-something% from book one to book two. And you could say, yeah, but didn't his sales go down? They did. They went down from like 75 to, I think it was like in the 50s. So if you think about that, at 99-cent book, you're only getting 35 cents anyway. And I think we ended up with his first book being at $3.99 or $4.99. I can't remember. So just that alone, the difference between, you know, 50 sales and 75 sales, you're making more money anyway. Yeah. And in the long run, you're making more money because those people are now, it's up to over 70% that they're jumping to those next books in the series, which means that your long tail is way better. And that's something that he wouldn't have known unless you can do it through spreadsheets. Yeah. So he would have to enter in all of that data by hand and everything else, which is nice about our system is since you are uploading that data anyway, all you got to do is click a link or, you know, one of our links. It takes you into that report and it shows you just like that. Here's your information. And you say, well, what is it over 90 days? Change it to 90 days. Boom, there it is. You know, so the information is right at your fingertips without you having to enter in all of that information to get there.
So this is giving you read-through
information. Read-through, sell-through. It gives you sell-through as general. If you're on KU, yes, it'll give you read-through as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it pulls all the data in automatically, including the ad spend?
So it pulls in the ad spend for Facebook. You just click a button on our page, and as long as you're connected to the Facebook thing through our system, it will do that. Amazon, not yet. And if you're using the KDP bookmarklet that we provide, then it will automatically grab that data for you every 15 minutes, assuming it's running. You have to run it, obviously, but for, I think it's every 15 minutes, it will update the data and send it back to our system for you. Otherwise, you can download and upload the reports manually.
I've got a slightly niche question, which is I'm somebody who has multiple KDP accounts because I have an imprint and my own books, and SPF mm-hmm. has some books. Does that muck things up when it's a browser installation?
It's not that it really messes things up. What you can do, well, either A, you have multiple accounts, obviously, with us, and that would solve that problem. But the other option that you have is you have three pen names that you can use. So you could have each one of those pen names set up for each one of those situations.
But if it's automatically importing data from KDP, mm-hmm. how does it know who I'm logged into at any one time?
So when it comes to KDP, that's a good point. It doesn't. So basically what happens at that point is if you are logged in as, let's say, pen name A, and you're running that tool, it will send back pen name A data. It can't send back pen name B because that's a different, you know, KDP account. So you would have to log into KDP account two for the next report that pulls to go to the right location. There's nothing that we can do about that. We can't log you out and log you back in.
So use different browsers maybe for different accounts.
You could do that. Yeah, some people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get that worry. That's a bit of a niche question because not many people have multiple KDB accounts, but if your life is complicated like mine, you do. All right, that sounds really good. It's really come a long way, I think, from those early mm-hmm. days. I mean, I'm a big spreadsheet freak, and I just like spreadsheets personally because I think part of the learning process for me of getting under the skin of figures is the act of putting it into a spreadsheet and the act of doing the formula, and that works for me. But I'm always tempted to use the dashboards, but because of my complex multiple KDP accounts, I've never really found one that's worked satisfactorily. So I will give this a try, John, and try and use like Safari or something, which is a browser I don't normally use. Just lock that away for my own books for and see what difference it makes. I mean, read through is it's a complex calculation, and there are different ways of doing it. But I think if you can automate that, if you can present that data clearly to people, and I hope people understand what we mean by read through. Not everyone necessarily will, but if you've got 10 books in a series and 100 people read book one, you're really interested in how many move on to book 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, because that's usually where the juice is, right?
That's right. Yeah, and also keeping in mind, one of the things that we as authors have been kind of conditioned to do is get book one into their hands, and no matter how you do it, because at that point, they'll read it, they'll love it, they'll move on to book two. But what we're learning as time goes on, the free market may not be the best way to do that anymore, or the free campaigns and so on, or even the 99-cent sales and such, depending on your genre and depending on, you know, your reviews. There's a lot that goes into it. But the reason why you have to be a little bit careful these days is because people have so many options. And, you know, you've seen the memes left and right. I've only got, you know, 3,500 books to read before I die, you know, that kind of thing. And you have to think, how many books can a person actually read? And if you're giving them something for free, it's going into the pile, you know, to be read, because not all cases, granted, you know, but it's likely going into the pile to be read, because I'll get to that as soon as I finish this book and I've got my TBR list and so on. But as soon as a certain amount of money is spent on your particular genre, what we call skin in the game, at that point, now the reader is more likely to read your book because it's not a 99-cent or a free book like the other 100 they picked up this weekend. Yours was $5, you know, or whatever that price point is, $2, $3, whatever. It's a price where they have to prioritize it over all the free stuff. And if they still love your book, they're still going to, they're more likely to go to book two. And what we do see that in our stuff, with authors that, you know, that I work with personally, where I will say, okay, what are you doing on book one to book two? Like I just mentioned with this other author, and we start seeing, yeah, you've given away a lot of free books, but only 6% or 10% or 17%, whatever it is, are moving to book two. What happened when you used to charge for this? You know, so you can pick that time frame where they used to charge a full price for that book. And they're like, oh, wow, I had 35% or I had 60% jumping from book one to book two. And what people really need to recognize here is that, as you pointed out, for the 10 books at, you know, let's say $4.99 a pop is worth a pretty decent chunk of change. You know, if you can get a person to read from book one to book two, if only let's say 10% are going from book one to book two, that's a lot less money that you're going to get over the long haul than you're going to get from the person if you are at 30% or 50%. So it does matter, and calculations like that help you to determine, is free worth it for me? For some people it's really worth it. Is 99 cents worth it? What is that price point? And you can only do that by over time testing.
Yeah, price is such a tricky area. Now, I always think there's basically it's two considerations. One is how price sensitive are your readers, your target? And that depends on genre, depends on the way you're targeting them. And the second thing is that assuming there will be a drop-off at whoever your readers are, there'll be a drop-off because supply and demand predicts there will be, for a slightly higher price. And this is something you alluded to earlier. Depending on the size of that drop-off, it's still worth you going up because you don't need as many readers to make the same or more money. And there are two things to factor in. And even those two things, that becomes quite a complicated decision.
Absolutely. But there's also one more thing that ties into that, what you just said. And that is I don't want this to sound wrong, but that is the quality of the reader that you're picking up. Because if you are, you know, picking up, I hate this term, and a lot of people use this term, so I will, but, you know, it's with a grain of salt, bottom feeder readers who are, you know, either free seekers or cheap seekers, right? 99 cent and so on and so forth. The question really is, are they just waiting for that next book in your series to be free? Or are they just waiting for you to have a box set that you discount, you know, greatly and so on? So the quality of your readers matters too. And the reason I think that's the case is if you have a reader that's a little bit, you know, is willing to pay what, you know, the genre is worth and so on and going through, they actually are really supporting you as an author. And there is a lot of value in that because those are the ones who typically become super fans. So you're more likely to have that happen with people who are like, you're going to do a Kickstarter. You know, some people are just like, you know, good luck with that. Let me know when it comes out free. Is that really who you want to target? Mm. Or do you want to target people who are just as, you know, maybe not just as invested in your career as you are, but invested enough in your stories that they want to make sure that you succeed? And I think that there does come a price point with that.
Yeah. This goes to underline, I think, the importance of a mailing list as well. When you make a personal connection with your readers, even if they picked up your book for free, you can start to turn them into people who are, as you say, skin in the game, invested in you a little
bit. Absolutely. And that's something you can find out over time. So even if they pick up your book for free, but do they turn into a valuable reader, or do they stay the quote bottom feeder over that course of time?
Yeah. So tell us how it works and how much it costs, what we need to do to get going with it and how much it's going to cost us.
Sure. So you get a 30-day free trial, with the system. Just go to authorhelper.com. It'll tell you all about the system and so on. It's a 30-day free trial. No credit card needed to get started with the system. If you want to continue on with it and sign up, it's $24.99 a month. Unless you pay annually, then it's $19.99 per month. You know, pay it as annual. For the system. That's it.
There's no tiered levels of gold, silver, bronze. It's just a straightforward, everyone gets everything.
Straightforward. That's right.
And yeah. you do the developing yourself. I know you've got a programming background. You mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm. So I started the whole system programming it myself. And then we brought on one of our team members, Rafal Dudek, who is someone I worked with for a number of years in the corporate industry when I worked at America Online. Actually, Ben and I both worked at America Online. So did Rafal. So that's how we all knew each other. But he's a better developer than I am, definitely. He's very, very good at that. He's not an author. So that it also brings a cool perspective to things when, you know, we start down the author path. He'll reel us in sometimes and go, okay, but this just doesn't make any sense, yeah. You know,
because this is how we do it.
Look at things. Yeah. But this is what we do. Yeah. He'll bring us some unique perspectives on things. He's definitely a better developer than me. So when it comes down to heavier lifting stuff, I leave it to him. And I get to do this stuff that these days where it's probably a little bit more flashy, but call him nitty gritty, call me flash, you know, where he has to deal with some of the stuff where, you know, people don't see it and how important it is to do. And then I get to turn on, you know, this feature and that I coded up that's, you know, and people are like, oh, you're amazing. And I'm just like, oh no, I couldn't have done this without him, you know, without all the stuff that he does. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. So the Formula One analogy, he's cleaning out the air filter of the cars and you're standing there welcoming the sponsors to the VIP lunch.
There you go. Yeah.
But the car doesn't run without the air filters cleaned out.
Oh no. And the tires changing and everything. Yeah. That's correct.
So you're also moving, I think, into doing some education work, a bit of webinar stuff, online courses. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we have Author Helper Academy. And there are two courses up there right now. One of them is just how to use the Author Helper suite, and it goes through all of the details for that. And the second one is called Writer to Author. And that's a series of webinars that I'm going to be doing. That's free. Both of those are free, basically. And that comes from when I was, again, working with those other authors when we were all together. The idea was, we were trying to get from just being writers to quote being authors, and all it's just a semantic play that we, you know, have. The only difference is this: a writer writes. An author in our minds is someone who writes and does the business of writing. So that was really kind of it. And the first thing is called the mental game. And the mental game is when I was mentoring a lot of, I mentored a number of authors and including the ones I mentioned before, while doing that, I started seeing similarities. Everybody was chasing, how do I make sales today? How do I make sales today? How do I make sales today? But nobody was really thinking about their actual goals. They were thinking about the goals that they saw somebody else might have had and adopting them to be their own. But that can be a dangerous recipe, because if you are adopting someone else's goals and yet you're not really following your own internal compass, you can fail pretty quickly and, you know, destroy any momentum that you were trying to gain. And we see this a lot, like when folks go to conferences, they'll come out and they'll be filled with excitement and ready to take on the world. And then 30 days later, that's kind of petered off. And now they're not really, you know, doing that anymore. So it is definitely the least exciting thing to do as an author. But what I found is when I was doing a lot of mentoring, the people who did it, they're still in business today. They're still successful today.
Yeah.
The people who didn't are either still struggling from like they were on day one, or they're just not doing well, and or they stopped completely. And one, this kind of happened when I was, again, let's go back to 20 Books Vegas. I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was a year before the pandemic. I was sitting with Orlando Sanchez, and he said, hey, there's this person I want you to talk to. So I sat down with this couple. And she said, you know, I said, well, what's your goal? She said, yeah, I want to make $1 million a year. And I was like, okay, cool. So you need to be a rock star. Okay, no big deal. Let me ask you some questions. So I started asking questions. Find out she had, at the time, she had three kids, all under 10. There was soccer and you know, various sports that were going on. Sorry, football.
Yeah, my bad. That's all right. We know what soccer means. It's actually an old English word, so I'm quite happy with soccer.
Oh, really? Okay. And then obviously she was married, and I said, okay, well, do you work full time as well? And she goes, I do. I have a full time job. It's really more than full time. I'm like, okay, so it's more than full time. Yeah. Are you willing to leave this job? No, I love my job. I never want to leave my job. Okay. So you're working a more than full time job. You're married. You have three kids under 10. They have sports and everything that they're doing and so on. How much time per week can you really dedicate to this? Oh, I've got that all mapped out. Okay. I'm doing about 3 to 4, I'm doing 3 hours every Sunday.
Christ.
And I'm going, and you want to make $1 million a year. Like I unless you're going to write the less than 1% miraculous book that's going to hit, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to change the way that you're looking at things. And, she's like, well, these other people said that they just put up a few ads and it worked. I said, well, with some people that could happen because they hit that magic, you know, book that just everybody grabbed and went for. But statistically speaking, sorry, not likely. Then I was speaking to somebody else who had the same situation and was clearly uncomfortable with the concept of I want to be a millionaire. And I asked, I said, how much do you make right now? And it was like $40,000 a year. And I said, okay, and how much do you need to live every month? And I don't remember the exact number, but let's just throw out $3,000, right? And I said, okay, so you don't need to make $1 million a year. You need to make $3,000 net that you can live on so you can be a full-time author. The relaxation in that person's face. Mm. And I'm like, don't get me wrong, making $3,000 is not as easy as you might think, you know, net in this industry. But if you do the right things and you know, walk in the right direction, you know, you do all the right stuff and you're consistent, you can certainly do that. It can absolutely happen. But, and it doesn't mean that you can't then aim towards $1 million, but let's just start with what do you need to do to eat, to live and everything else. Let's start there. And once we start there, then we can move forward. And also thinking in terms of some people, they are afraid of success or they're afraid of failure. They have problems with money, not just necessarily managing it, but just in general of, I don't want to have a lot of money because if I do, then I have the risk I might lose a lot of money. It's an interesting mental dynamic that ends up happening. And when you start digging into this with people, you start realizing that their beliefs, the questions they ask themselves, and their habits tend to be what's going to be the indicator if they're going to succeed at what they're attempting to go towards or not. Especially because those three things, questions, beliefs, and habits, do they coincide with goal, with whatever that goal is? Because if they don't, you're sabotaging yourself the entire trip and you're not going to succeed. And so I saw this over and over and over again. And I started, finding a pattern that I could use with these people to help them solve that problem. And then just this year, last year I had a whole bunch of personal issues and family issues and such, but I decided, plumbers have leaky pipes. I decided maybe I should do this course for myself. So I did. And wow, it changed a lot for me and how I, everything that I did. And then I was working with another author. She and I work a lot together. It's Bonnie Paulson. And we went through it with her as well. And she said, you should just make this a course, this piece to help people out. So I did. And I've had a number of people taking it. It is free. Again, just go to authorhelperacademy.com. It's called Writer to Author, The Mental Game. And I am also planning to do the next one, which is called The Brand Game. And with that one, it's going to be basically the same thing as The Mental Game. The Mental Game just helps you get from, let's call yourself 0.5 to version one, okay. Right? So you get to version one, cleaning up your act in your own mind so you know where you're at. The Brand Game is really version two of you, is really what that is. And because it's the persona of the author and making sure that you're not just running a brand that doesn't match version one. So you don't want to jump to the brand without doing one, or you're in that same problem where, you've got a conflict going on internally.
Yeah.
So that's that.
It is incredible how mindset is so important. Sounds like a great, great course, John. And I see this in all walks of life. I'm involved in our local cricket club. It's a bit like baseball, only much more skillful. But in cricket, you see people getting in the way of themselves. Mm-hmm. Not physically, but you can see their mentality. And good, talented players who are, in fact, you said a really interesting thing I should not heard before. We talk about being afraid of failure, which is crippling. But actually being afraid of success is more common than you think in the way that some people approach life in business and books. And I see this, like I say, in sport. Sometimes very young kids have the wrong parents who sounds a strange thing to say. But, this mental side of life, that's why these books, these self-help books, Atomic Habits and all these other books that we read are doing so well at the moment, because they are getting, finally, I think we're getting to the nitty gritty of the human condition with this stuff. But look, we're almost out of time. Sounds great. Where can people find the course again? That's Author Helper Academy.
That's right. AuthorHelperAcademy.com. Mm-hmm.
Superb. And so it's just to underline, it's AuthorHelper.com for the book service.
Right. And you can actually just go to AuthorHelper.com and you'll see all of it's there. Just go there. It's the easiest way to do it.
That's your place on the web. Wow. Mm-hmm. 40 minutes has ripped through, John.
And I talk a lot.
I haven't got you to do your rock music screaming, which I think we'll have to save for another day. But
yeah, I can't do it anyway because the voice is still messed up.
Oh, yes, of course. You did say to us about that. Yes. But John Dyer and I will never forget those few moments when the screams suddenly erupted. And I think you've moved because we visited your home, you and Lorelei, but you are now, you're still in North Carolina?
We are. We're still in Clayton. She said when we talked to you at NINC, she said it was the same house. So it's the same place. I'm just in the different office. So she took my office and I took this one because of all of the recording. The air conditioning is outside.
Right.
And when it comes on, it picks up.
Yeah. You had a TARDIS, I think, back in the day when we were there.
I did. Yeah. I got rid of that because of this fantastic microphone.
Yeah, yeah. The Shure mic. I've got one as well if you're watching them.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is very nice. Awesome. Okay, John, thank you so much indeed. Are we going to see you next week in Vegas?
I will be there.
Excellent. Well, we'll have a cold one and discuss things further over that. We'll get our mindset right.
Sounds good, man. Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
That's John Logsdon, the Author Helper Suite. It's fun watching all these services sort of grow up, and I think very much like Draft Edition, like a lot of these companies, they are completely author-led. So they're basically, that service is expanded because authors keep emailing John in this case and saying, can you do this, can you do that? So gradually they increase the services. This is the beginning, we're still in the foothills probably, aren't we, of indie publishing, of all these operators appearing.
Yeah, there's lots of, I've been doing this long enough now, 10 years actually, this month, more on that later perhaps, but I've been in this enough time now to see the kinds of companies usually created and run by authors, things like BookFunnel. I'm looking over there, I can see GeniusLink and BookLinker, service that I use, Draft Digital, lots and lots of companies that have been created by authors who recognize the need for the service that they have attempted to provide. So yeah, it's great. It's one of the best things that that's changed over the last decade is how much easier it is to get the help that you need these days than it used to be back in the past when we were struggling with formatting, struggling with getting books to readers, all of those things much, much easier today than they were before.
Using spreadsheets, copy and pasting email addresses.
Oh yeah, been there.
All that stuff. You don't know how lucky you are if you're starting out today.
Yeah.
A lot of services available. I didn't realise GeniusLink. I use them all the time. Yeah. So I'm going to go and have a chat with them as well. Okay, right. I think that's it, Mark. We losing our throats because it's the desert. It's very
not
dry.
The COVID.
We did go to the spa last night, didn't we? You and I.
I'm going tonight as well.
We had a couple's massage.
Oh, we did.
Which was lovely. But one of the main things I wanted to do, which I did do, I sat for 5 minutes in the steam room because honestly, it was blessed relief because it's dry.
It is very dry.
Inside the casinos. But I wouldn't change it for the world. I do like, I've had grown to like Vegas more the more we come. We discover little parts of it. We've got some of the best restaurants in the world on our doorstep.
We did probably have one of the best steaks I've ever had last night. It was really, it was unbelievably expensive, but it was really delicious.
What stays in Vegas?
Yeah, it's for those in Vegas, it's Cut by Wolfgang Puck, which is at the Palazzo, isn't it? Which is connected to the Venetian. So really, really good. Really enjoyed that.
Top tip from my friend Kyron. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much indeed to John Logston, our guest. Thanks to Tom, who's behind the camera, you can't see. Thanks to John, who's amazingly holding up an iPhone.
He's staggering.
He is staggering now.
Well, he's staggering in many ways.
And to Catherine, who's back home selling Christmas trees, and everybody else involved in the production, Stuart and so on. Thank you very much indeed. I should also mention I've got a new book out. Well,
maybe for next
it's
episode.
It's up for pre-order at a well-known online retailer. If you want to have a look at
called Desert Venom. There we go. New cover I saw from Stuart Bache this morning.
Fantastic.
So anyway, with no more further ado,
yes,
it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.